Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 100 years ago today, thousands of Armenian leaders were deported from what was then Constantinople. They were executed, and over the next 7 years, an estimated 1.5 million Armenians would also be killed through the final days of the Ottoman Empire and a brutal civil war. Armenian communities around the world today commemorate the anniversary of what many historians have called a genocide. Here's Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker speaking today at the State House.
I'm proud that our state continues to stand firm on this issue and educates our students about the history of the Armenian Genocide, and we are hopeful that through this learning about these tragic events, we can do our part to ensure that they never happen again.
The commemoration has a special resonance in Watertown, where a quarter of the population is of Armenian descent, making it the third largest Armenian community in the country. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports on the impact the genocide has had on the formation of that community.
Worcester was the first Armenian settlement in the United States, but it's Watertown where Armenians thrived. The Hood Rubber Company, founded at the start of the 20th century, was located at what is now Watertown Mall. Hood was the largest rubber shoe factory in the world, and Armenians, along with Italians, Syrians, and Greeks, turned out rubber soles by the millions, samples tested by local kids. In the documentary video, Destination Watertown, Rose Magarian recalls volunteering to put the shoes through their paces.
I was the best test girl. I got a new pair of sneakers every week because I worked so hard because my mother had me running all day.
Run to the store.
Hatspet.
Run, bring bread.
Gatpet.
Bring milk. Run, run, run.
My mother never used any other word with me but vaze.
A lifelong Watertown resident, Rose Magarian, died 3 years ago. Her memorial service was held here at St. James Armenian Church. It's one of three Armenian churches in Watertown. Parishioner Sandy Rafalian calls St. James the heart and soul of the community.
We have a full house tonight. It's wonderful. Everybody comes. Everybody comes.
Once a month, Armenian Americans from Watertown, Newton, Belmont, Lexington, and beyond gather at St. James for fellowship, traditional music, and food, counterbalances to the forces of assimilation.
We love America. This is our home as well. But there are lots of challenges. I am Reverend Father Arakel Aljalian, the pastor here at St. James Armenian Church. The church, they try to keep the ethnicity of the Armenians. So they would practice their faith, practice their culture, their traditions, their heritage. So Watertown, we call it Little Armenia. You know, you go to, whether it's the local banks, you go to Armenian stores, they all speak Armenian. And it's a unique place, Watertown.
Eastern Watertown, near where the Hood Rubber Factory once stood, is filled with stores that cater to the tastes of Armenians. Customers and shopkeepers, three generations removed, still share memories and scars of the genocide. Sarkis Orfalian and his brother own Massis Bakery. Like the other stores in this part of Watertown, it'll be closed today in remembrance.
My grandmother had two kids. This is during the genocide, 1915. One of them was 5 years old, a boy, and a two-year-old girl.
Orfalian's grandmother was forced to flee the land her family lived for centuries. Her two-year-old daughter couldn't make the arduous journey to Lebanon, so the infant was left at a church. Orfalian says mother and daughter were never reunited. Turks burned the church down.
So there was no survivors. So throughout her life, she always wore black. Just imagine you have two kids and you have to leave one of them behind. And then realize that what kind of a decision you've made that she couldn't really live with.
Armenians originally called it the Great Crime or Massive Catastrophe. There wasn't a word to describe the deliberate destruction of an ethnic group until after World War II. The term genocide was created and adopted by the UN. It's a legal definition. Turkey and most nations, including the United States, refused to apply the word genocide to what took place 100 years ago in the Ottoman Empire.
Turkey understands and respectfully recognizes the Armenian sufferings. We share these sufferings.
Ermer Budak is Consul General of Turkey in Boston. 30 years ago, Armenian anger to Turkey turned to rage, and rage to terror. The then Honorary Consul General to New England was assassinated in Somerville. His killer never caught. Umar Budak copes for reconciliation.
Now we need to heal the wounds of the past century and reestablish our human bones. Turkey is determined to this goal based on just memory and a peaceful common future.
In 2009, Turkey and Armenia signed a protocol to normalize relations and exchange diplomats. But domestic politics on both sides derailed the agreement. The wounds of the massacres run deep in the diaspora. In Watertown, Armenians and their descendants would embrace their new national identity. For many, the language was lost, and over time, those who remained in Armenia developed a different dialect, and different traditions evolved. The distance between homeland and new home grew further apart. The toll of genocide is measured not just in lives, but generations.
That means whatever is left behind from their history, from their culture, is foreign to them. I mean, it's a difficult question. How do you keep a culture alive?
Berez Sherchikian is director of the Armenian Museum of America. It's located in Watertown.
People were throwing away Armenian books because they couldn't read it. Their parents had brought it over from the old country. And they put a sign in the newspapers, Armenian newspapers here, that we are collecting books. And then people started bringing Armenian books. And then eventually people said, we have other things also.
From this modest beginning in a basement in the 1970s, the collection has become the largest Armenian museum in the United States, rich in artifacts dating back 5,000 years and more. But it's what happened 100 years ago that draws Armenian Americans together today.
The genocide, the recognition of the Armenian genocide in this world has become the unifying force and keeps us as a community strong.
Watertown High is the only public school in the nation to offer Armenian language classes. Teenage sisters Isabel and Sarah Gulakian text their friends Annie Papanian and Asya Bagdasarian in Armenian.
I think I'm kind of thankful for the genocide. Because of it, we're so much stronger and powerful than we were back then, and we're going to keep fighting until, like, we are recognized, because it's everything to us, you know? It's that we're still here.
Even though it was 100 years ago, I didn't go through it. My mom didn't go through it. My grandparents didn't go through it. My great-grandparents did. I feel as though I went through it, and it affects me.
That's what makes us want to be together more, because, you know that quote by William Saroyan? Like, he's like, whenever two Armenians meet in the world, like, see if they won't create a new Armenia. And that's what we do every time we're together. Like, we create a new Armenia.
This is new music from Armenia. It's called Stone Cross. Today, Armenian Americans from Watertown and around the region, as well as survivors and their descendants from Rwanda, Bosnia, Chechnya, Cambodia, and more, are commemorating the 100th anniversary of the genocide with a gathering at the Armenian Heritage Park on the Rose Kennedy Greenway.
That report from WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. Stay with us when we come back. A tiny bird, an ancient crab, and an epic journey. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.